Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Kami Doku Podcast. I am Christopher Beljanovsky, and joining me as always is the man, the myth, the legend, Toasty.
Toasty!
So great to be with you once again. If you're new here, what we do is share our love of Mortal Kombat, whether it be through interviews or discussions around various topics. But before we get started, please follow the Kami Doku Podcast in the app of your choice so that you never miss an episode. And finally, be sure to share our podcast with a friend so that they too can enjoy our content.
Yes, absolutely. We're happy you joined along today. The original Mortal Kombat games are what started it all and gave us the best fighting games imaginable. None of this would have happened if it weren't for the people dedicated to these unique characters behind the scenes. One such man is Brian Glenn, who is literally the physical embodiment of Emperor Shao Kahn. Brian put on his impressive helmet and staggering gear before you knew it, one of the most recognizable bosses in video game history was standing right before the creators. Brian gave us the one true conqueror of realms, and we're excited to have him here today to discuss his experiences. With that said and done, let's continue over to today's interview. All right, my friends, and here we are, joined with the one and only Brian Glenn. It's so good to have you here. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Nice to be with you.
Before we get into the details of Mortal Kombat, particularly, why don't you tell our audiences a bit more about your passion in weightlifting and what had initially gotten you into this?
I was always an athlete in high school and grammar school and stuff like that. And then I had a car accident. So my baseball career was kind of over early in high school. And so I started lifting weights and then really loved it, really looked at it. It was just a great like stress reliever. And I just really took the weights. And then I started competing in bodybuilding, did really well in that. I won a natural world championship. I also won the collegiate nationals.
Nice.
And then I actually live at the gym here in Las Vegas. Now they have opened up a place called Lifetime Living. So I just walk over across to the parking lot and work out. So I'm still, sometimes I do it twice a day, you know?
Yeah, it sort of becomes an addiction, right?
Yeah, I eat really healthy and I go to the gym. That's really my life now. It's never really stopped since day one, you know?
Yo.
Very nice.
In terms of becoming Shao Kahn, receiving the role and such, how did that play out exactly, Brian?
Well, I was training at a gym in Chicago, a world gym. I had met, actually I didn't know him at the time, but Jax had approached me and said they were looking for someone.
Parrish.
Yeah. So he said they were looking for someone to play a role in a new video game. So he gave me, I think, John Tobias's number, and I called him. And then I went to the studio there and pretty much got the part right on the spot. So it was thanks to John. Meeting John in the gym is probably why I'm here as part of the Mortal Kombat franchise today, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you're an absolutely perfect fit. I remember seeing you for the first time when I was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old at the arcade, and I was like, man, this guy, like Shang Tsung was scary, but you were like, obviously your physique makes a big difference, but yeah, you were really brooding and incredible. So yeah, you did an awesome job in that role.
Well, a lot of fans are disappointed when they see me because I'm not 7 foot tall like Shao Kahn is in the game. So yeah, I guess if you can get over that, then you know, it's all good.
Yeah, that's it. So I guess considering, you know, Shao Kahn isn't really a martial artsy kind of character.
Right.
But I guess the costumes were sort of, I know in the early days especially, they were quite cheaply made. So how difficult was it to actually perform in that costume?
Actually, that costume was, that one wasn't that cheaply made. I think they spent like $3,000 on that. It was,
oh, really?
Oh.
They had like a, some kind of Hollywood costume maker come in for that. And they sized me for it. And fitted, it was custom made to fit me, but it was still very uncomfortable to move in and punch in and stuff like that because of the shoulder pads would always move and the helmet was, it's made of plastic. So it wasn't really super comfortable on. You know, it kept falling off, and the helmet would keep falling off. So, yeah, it wasn't super comfortable. No, that costume was actually, it was probably the most expensive costume that they had at the time.
From the sounds of it.
Yeah, I mean, most of the other ones were just pieced together with other just materials that they found, or, you know, I think some of the characters were even put together with stuff they found at a costume shop. So
yeah,
yeah,
this was a custom fitted suit for me, which I don't. A lot of people ask me if I still own it today, but I don't own it. So
yeah, I think it's actually most of it's hanging up in NetherRealm Studios. I've actually seen it in person.
Yeah, they kept it,
and it's wild when you see it in person too. It's
yeah, it's unreal, and I wasn't actually in my best shape when they filmed that. I was always competing. I think it was kind of an off season last competing, so I wasn't really. I'm in better shape today than I was back then.
No kidding.
I was like having abs and being ripped and stuff like that.
Yeah. Speaking of you know, things that are ridiculously huge, let's talk about Shao Kahn's Warhammer. Did you actually wield a prop while shooting your footage, or?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was just like a broom handle or something. I didn't have that hammer is like After Effect, you know.
Okay.
But it's nothing that I had. Yeah, it was like, I want to say it was either a broomstick or something like that.
Okay.
Like a lot of people, it's funny because a lot of people ask me about the filming of it. It's so long ago that I don't remember a lot of details about it, you know. And the sad thing is, you know, back then we didn't have cell phone cameras. We didn't have a whole, I don't have any audio, video. I almost have, the only pictures I have of it is what I find on Google, and they're not very good pictures. High res. Yeah. So that's the only unfortunate thing about it. I don't really have anything that can, you know, bring back memories of a lot of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point you were engaged to Lea Montelongo, who portrayed Queen Sindel in MK3.
Yeah.
Which is kind of ironic because Shao Kahn and Sindel were kind of a couple in the game.
Yeah.
Did your relationship begin on the set of MK, or did you know each other before?
Oh, no, we were together before then.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think me and John had gotten her the job, because I had gotten the job first, and then they were looking for someone to play a female character, so I connected her with them, and then she got the part, so.
Very nice. Mm.
Say, what are some of the coolest fan encounters you can recall having after playing this famous leader? I understand you even had a Shao Kahn birthday cake made for you at one point. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. That was at the 25th anniversary. It also happened to have been my 50th birthday. So
no
they,
way.
They had a cake made for me and stuff like that. So just going to, it's fun going to a lot of these events. You know, I mean, we don't get paid a whole lot of money to do it, but it's just fun connecting with the fans and meeting the people who made the game, you know, as popular as it is today. And so if I can get out more, I wish I could get out more and do it, but there's not a whole lot of people asking for us. So we did Comic-Con, was it 2 years ago in LA? But it's kind of weird. They had some of the actors from the movie there, and then they had some of the actors from the game there. So people were kind of confused. You know what I mean? Some people don't realize that even today, like when I tell them I was in a video game, they're like, what do you mean you were in a video game? Like they still don't understand. They can't comprehend that you're actually you're the person in the game. They're like, what, they used your picture in the game? Like, no, I was in the game. So.
Which of the movie actors were you with at the time?
Casamassa.
Chris
Casamassa. And then also, trying to think who else was there. The other guy who played, can't remember his name. I don't know if he played Scorpion. What is that?
Oh, a Reptile. Keith Cook.
Keith. Those two.
Nice.
And then I ended up being the only one from the game, because Carrie had to, she was there and she had to cancel. She had an emergency with her sons. So she had to fly back. She actually was in LA and then she had to fly back to Chicago. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people. So we didn't. We were kind of put all the way in the back of the Comic-Con, so it was kind of, and it was just right at, COVID was still kind of going on, so it wasn't that great, you know.
Did you have any input into Shao Kahn's moves or his overall look?
Not really, no. They, for the most part, they just told me, tell me what to do, you know. It wasn't, like some of the other characters, there's more martial arts involved. I mean, I've boxed before and took some taekwondo, so I'm not a martial artist by no means. But it's just basic punches, kicks, falling. They would just kind of direct me on how to do that, you know.
Yeah. Were any parts of the costume altered, possibly because it didn't quite fit with your physique or anything like that?
No, it was like I said earlier, it was custom. They came out and fitted me for it. Like they measured me and then they came out and fitted me. But I just remember the shoulder pads that were always like, even some of the pictures that you'll see online, like one of the shoulder pads is like hanging off the back and the other, because they wouldn't stay on very well, you know?
Yeah.
Because they were so heavy, they would move real easily.
Yeah.
So that
so you mentioned,
I don't know. I said that part of it was kind of awkward when you're doing that fighting stance.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So you're on record in some other interviews mentioning that Shao Kahn looks very different in today's adaptations. Do you prefer his more traditional look, as in like when you were in the game? And what's your opinion on his current look?
Of course, I'll give you my biased opinion. Yeah, I like the way it looked back then. I'm not really that keen on the new Shao Kahn. And then I don't follow it as much as I probably should. I think didn't he die off or something like that? Then
yeah, everyone dies and comes back. And
yeah, exactly. It looked like he had died in Deadly Alliance, but no, he's still back.
And now he's very much got like, you know, black fingernail, long fingernails, and he's got like a dragon
scaly
look on the back. And
yeah,
I kind of like the old school Shao Kahn shit. I mean, but that's just, I mean, of course I'm going to say that because I played the character, right?
For sure.
No, honestly, I've noticed from, generally from people, they prefer the traditional look, I've noticed on social media and things like this. And I just think it was much more effective. You know, it was simple, but it was effective. It looked so incredible and so intimidating. But now I think they're just sort of pushing it a little too far. I'm not too keen on the new look myself.
Right. And I don't even know who they use. I don't even know how they build the games anymore. So I'm not sure who they use to do the images. Are they building from actual people now, or are they just... Do you guys know how they're building?
Yeah, they do like facial scans, and then it's, you know, superimposed onto a 3D model, and then totally different process now.
Oh, yeah. So it's not modeled after any person, then, correct?
Oh no, they are.
Oh, okay. So that, but it's not.
Well,
it's not
generally,
filmed,
generally,
they're not filmed the same way that we filmed them back
no.
in the day. Okay.
No, it's a very different process.
So you've expressed before that you practically had a chance to audition for the Mortal Kombat movie. Did you actually go through with attempting to get a role? Tell us about that process.
Like I was saying, I think it was more of a publicity stunt because they were going from town to town to try and find cast members for the movie. And so they said we were going to be able to have a fair shot, but from what I understand, they already had the cast members chosen for that. So I think it was more just to bring some publicity to the fact that they're making a movie about the game. You know, I could be wrong, but that's just kind of was the feeling of most of the actors in the game.
Oh, that's interesting. But from what I understand, this is where you actually took up Taekwondo, correct? In preparation?
Because once they said that we had a chance to be in the game, that's when I kind of started doing it. But I used to mess around a little bit before then. You know, nothing. I got more serious about it so that I could try and, you know, get the part, but it was, nobody really had a shot at getting the part, you know?
Yeah. So considering Shao Kahn's helmet covers the majority of his face, you were likely less recognized when compared to some of the other actors. In the end, did you kind of prefer this way?
I mean, it didn't really matter, because at the time, I didn't really realize how popular the game was going to be. And, so it doesn't really matter to me. I don't know that a lot of them guys are getting recognized on the street or anything, you know? Because you don't see someone and be like, hey, that's Sub-Zero right there, you know what I mean? So I don't know how many people recognize John Turk as Sub-Zero,
You'd be surprised.
unless they're really big fans of the game and they see him somewhere, maybe in that setting. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, Brian, you also portrayed the water god and the Hulk monk in MK Mythologies. Elaborate how this process went, any memories you have on set, how long you spent working on the title.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember doing the game and somebody reached out to me on, I think it was Instagram the other day and asked me if I had played, what part I had played. And I remember I was in that game. I just remember the name of my character. And that character didn't even ring a bell. I was like, Hulk God? I was like, I don't remember that. so I think the process was very much the same as filming the other games, you know? I think it was just... kind of the same, just going in. It was a little bit easier to film because the costume obviously wasn't anything elaborate. You know, it was just a pair of... I think I still have that costume somewhere.
Oh, wow.
I recently moved, so I found it in some box. It has, like, shin guards and had some red pants, if I'm not mistaken, and then some kind of wrist guards.
No, I think
it had a vest or something that went around my...
Don't remember.
Did you spend the same amount of time working on this title, next to MK3, about the same duration, or did you work way more on MK3? You'd say.
Oh, for that. Oh, definitely MK3. Yeah, sure. And I was in a game called War Gods 2. Do you guys remember that game? No, I played Warhead.
Yeah,
and I spent probably the most time doing that game because. They had painted this whole, they spent the whole day painting all this, these special effects on me. And then we shot all the scenes. And it was a long day of shooting because they didn't want to have to repaint me again. And then they realized that, that paint wasn't showing up on this, like they wanted it to. So we refilmed the whole thing without the paint. So that ended up being a lot of time in the studio, you know?
Mm-hmm. So when you were working on Mythologies, did you get to see Leah a lot? Because she actually played the lead female character in that game.
Yeah, I think we went there a lot of times together, you know, because I think we were living together. So I think a lot of times we would go there together and film our scenes and whatnot. I'd wait for her, she'd wait for me, you know, and then it was kind of cool going to Midway. Probably the best part about it was we got to play all the games because they had all the games there. And There's a lot of waiting around, you know. There's a lot of like, okay, they'll do something and then send you out for a couple hours, and then they always had food for us, not healthy food, but just, you know.
Was it almost always a lot of pizza? Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of pizza, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So although Steve Ritchie famously voiced Shao Kahn in MK2 and 3, was there ever any talk or desire from your end for you to actually voice the character?
I think I did some stuff with it, but it just, I think it didn't come out as well when I did it like on video. So it was easier for them to do it through a sound kind of thing and then add it later, you know, like a lot of the effects were.
Yeah.
I've never really been a real actor in terms of like a speaking actor. So I probably didn't do the best. I'm better off just, being seen and not heard about, you know.
but speaking of acting, though, it is to my knowledge that you're good friends with John Turk to this day, well known as Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
You had the opportunity on getting to know him through working on MK3. John's still really big on the acting scene, and he's definitely pushing to get a cameo role in one of the newer MK films, even making a YouTube video about it. If he and some of the originals were granted the chance to play a smaller role in a sequel, would you be interested in taking this up?
Yeah, for sure. No doubt. I mean, it's probably not going to be a speaking role. It's probably just going to be like some kind of a background. You know, they're obviously not going to put us up against like, I mean, let's face it, I'm 55 years old. I mean, nobody wants to see a 55-year-old
No.
Shao Kahn. and Turk's getting up there too. So, I mean, but although he looks great for his age.
Do you, sir.
Yeah. No, not like the young guys anymore. I don't even know who played the first Shao Kahn. Was Brian Thompson? Is that who?
Brian Thompson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Thompson.
And he was in, trying to think of the movie he was in.
Cobra.
Cobra, that's right. He was the bad guy in Cobra, right?
Yeah.
And then are they planning another movie for Mortal Kombat or what?
Yeah, they are. They probably start shooting within like a few months from now. So they're going to start working on it very, very soon.
Okay. Is Shao Kahn going to be in that movie or?
We're hoping. And the recent sort of reboot, if you want to call it that, they actually have a very large statue of Shao Kahn in the background in one scene. So I think they're sort of insinuating he's on his way, but yeah.
Are they going to use the same guys from the other movies, or are they getting all new characters to play the characters? Are these going to be all fresh?
I'd imagine here? So.
Or yeah.
No? Yeah, because, I mean, the 2021 movie started off with a brand new cast.
Yeah.
So I assume they're just going to recast everybody. And, you know, Shao Kahn would be interesting to see who they choose for him, because at this point in time, we don't know if we're going to see him or not, but if we do... yeah, he'll need to be. He's got some big shoes to fill, I think. So,
yeah.
So, speaking of that newer movie, did you happen to see it at all? And if so, what are your thoughts on it?
The last movie?
Yeah, the one that came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I did. I don't know if I saw the full movie, but I think I would watch parts of it on whatever it was on HBO or Showtime. I'm just not into those kind of movies, I guess. My attention span for those kind of movies isn't very long, you know. I didn't understand some of the characters in the movie. Like there was like a, they didn't seem like they had anything to do with the game. But although I'm not up to date on what
Go Young.
Yeah. Is that true or no? What did you guys think?
You know, it was not perfect. This much is for sure. Right. I did have some issues with it, but actually one of the biggest issues was, yes, the inclusion of sort of their own original character, which was Ko Young. A lot of people found that very confusing, like you. You know, some people argue, well, why not just use Johnny Cage to sort of, you know, introduce the audience to this world? Why did you have to go with like Ko Young or something like that? Right. Yeah, I think the fights could have been... shot a lot differently, a lot better, and you know, you could tell the budget wasn't exactly like explosive or anything. It wasn't huge, but hopefully for the next one they'll make a lot of improvements, and I'm very excited nevertheless. How about you, Chris? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a good start. It definitely wasn't perfect, and in some ways it kind of did stray from the game a little bit, but I think through this initial I guess you could say they were testing the waters a bit. I think they're on their right track now. They've heard a lot of fan feedback, and I think they're going to make the next one really good. So, yeah, let's hope it doesn't let us down.
Was that the second movie or the third movie? I should know this, but was that the third movie?
Technically, the third. Yeah. Live action.
What did you guys think of the first movie? Did you guys see that was more true to the game or what?
I think for its time. I think it was you know, they hit it out of the park. I think that was a really good one, yeah.
The 95 right. one was amazing. It was much more true to the games. The atmosphere was there more so. Incredible music. And two of the fight scenes in particular really, really struck a note with us and to a lot of the fans worldwide. Still regarded as some of the best fight scenes. So
yeah, you know,
I think they did a wonderful job.
Right. Yeah, I remember why. I think I saw that one several times. That was a good, better. It was easier to follow for me, you know, especially because it was like you said, it was close to what the characters of the game, their roles in the game, you know.
Yeah.
So I understand you do graphic design, you paint and do things like that on the side. What are some of the creations you've generated in this space that you can tell us about?
I mean, I went to school for design. I've been an artist all my life. So I designed a lot of signs that are in the Chicago area right now. Those are like works of art that we could see probably still like sitting there. Just some tavern signs and some bigger corporate signs. But there's nothing really you could see of my work out there. I mean, it's mostly I do stuff. Logos, websites. I still have my website, shoutnow.com, where people can go and order like posters and stuff like that. So that's a website I designed. And all the little 8x11s or 8x10s that I sell, Turk sells, I designed all those. I designed them for Turk too.
Very nice.
But I do that more probably for charity now for my friends, because I have a business that's totally not related to art and design anymore here in Las Vegas. So it's in the litigation. I'm a computer expert for the court, so I have my own business, and I get hired by the courts to do to work on court cases, like mostly criminal court appointed cases. So that's what I've been doing lately. I mean, I still do art, I still design, I still train some people online, but there's more money in what I'm doing here in that space. Most design work now is outsourced, you know, so it's very hard to compete with someone that's getting a $100 website made, you know, or a $7 logo on Fiverr or whatever. So it's just, it's hard to hard to compete in that space anymore, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You've had the opportunity to meet some amazing people. You've even met Arnold Schwarzenegger. Understandably, he's always been sort of like an idol of yours. Yeah. Tell us how that went down.
It's to be honest with you, it's still kind of surreal to me, because me and my friends were training at the Gold's gym in Venice, and my friends are from Norway, so they were kind of following him around and stalking him and trying to get pictures of him, and his bodyguards kind of shoot him away, you know. And I went and I was doing some abs in there's a little ab room in Gold's in Venice, and he was with Ralph Moeller, the guy that played, he was in Gladiator, the one that tastes Gladiator food. You know that guy, Ralph Moeller? So Arnold trains with him, and then he's got a kind of a bodyguard with him. So I was doing ads, and I started talking to Ralph Moeller. He was right next to me. And then Arnold, I was doing the sitting thing where you're doing the knee ups, kind of. And Arnold looks at me, he goes, "You're ripped." And he started talking. Like, he's looking at you, "You're ripped," you know? And I couldn't believe I'm talking to Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was actually complimenting my physique, and I was just like, wow, that was,
my God.
It was kind of crazy. Like, I still, for like 5 days after, I'm like, wow, I can't believe that happened. So I told my friends that happened, because they were outside by the time I was done kind of waiting for him. I'm like, I already talked to him. So they're like, no way. I'm like, I swear to God.
Did you have any evidence? Did you take a photo or something?
It's weird. I felt odd, after talking to him, like, to ask him for a photo. But then when I seen him outside, I'm like, oh, can we get a photo together? And by the time he was outside, there was 50 people waiting for him outside. And I kind of got a selfie with him. He was already on his bike, and I kind of got a selfie with him outside. But I didn't realize there was like 50 people out there waiting.
Of course.
It just felt odd asking him for a picture, like, in the gym. I don't know. I was just trying to not be that, you know.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Because I saw what he did with my friend when he was trying to get pictures of him. He's like, they're like shooing away, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, you know. But yeah, I wish I would have got the whole thing on tape. Yeah, it would have been great. But it was crazy. Like days afterward, just thinking of like finally talking to Arnold, because there was a time when he came to Chicago, and I had drawn this poster of him, and I wanted to get it signed, and he was coming to World Gym because he was friends with the owner of World Gym. So Leah and I were getting ready to go, and she was kind of taking long to get ready. And I remember yelling at her because we had missed Arnold by like 5 minutes, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. And it was a real private setting because he was at the gym to visit with Al Phillips, the owner of World Gym, I think. They were buddies or something. So it was like, there were only like five or six people there. So I was going to get him to sign my poster, you know, but didn't get to meet him.
Oh, man.
Man.
Probably 20, 30 years later, or 20, maybe 25 years later, I finally get to meet him. So, but from what I understand, I got a lot of friends that train at that Gold's Gym, and he's become way more friendly in his older years than he used to be. Like, he didn't talk to anybody or compliment anybody. He'd just go work out, didn't want to be bothered. So,
yeah.
Buddy of mine said he became really friendly to the people at the gym now in the last few years. So,
nice.
Is what we like to hear. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I overheard that you also met Shaquille O'Neal. Is that true?
Yeah, he actually, so I train at Lifetime Fitness in Las Vegas here, and he actually goes to work out there sometimes. So he's always...
Oh, wow. Wow.
His son actually lives in this building that I live in, because the G League players all live here. I don't know if you know, are familiar with the NBA G League, but they live in this building okay. that I live in. So they, because they're oh. the arena that they play in is basically right across the street. So there's like 20 of the players that live here. So they, he's one of them that's on the Las Vegas. I think it's called the Ignite, Las Vegas Ignite. So
nice. Yeah,
super. He's got to be one of the nice guys you'll ever meet. He says hi to everybody. Like, he's just super friendly guy. Shaquille. So
good.
Yeah. Real nice guy. I've probably seen him in there maybe 10 times. I mean, right now, I think because TNT has their basketball season, he hasn't been around. But once that's over, he DJs here in Las Vegas. He's got a house here in Las Vegas. So nice. In the off season from TNT, he comes to the gym a lot. You know, you can't miss him. He's like, he's as tall as me.
Do you see him ducking a lot?
Not really, but...
No.
I mean, his head is as tall as those, you know, the cable cross machines.
Wow.
Well, Brian, we're going to now switch things up a little bit. We're going to go to the final segment of the show, which is called...
Final Round.
So what we're going to do during this final round is just ask you some quick questions, get to know you a little more. So the first one being, what are some of your secret talents or something most people don't know about you?
Secret, probably painting. I mean, we talked about it earlier, but yeah, when I tell people that I paint or do art, they kind of laugh because I just don't look like an artist. So, I mean, I cook. I'm pretty good at cooking, cleaning. Oh, nice. I'm very good at cleaning. I would never pay anybody to clean my place because I can clean good, but I guess those would be secret talents.
Oh, good. Good.
Ooh.
What would you say is your favorite movie to watch?
Honestly, a movie that I seem to always watch when it's on is Gladiator. I don't know. I like that movie.
Oh, it is a good one, man.
I love a lot of the scenes in that movie. So that's probably one of the movies that anytime I see that it's on that I tune into, you know?
Yeah.
Rocky movies used to be my favorite. And I think I've seen them too many times. And a lot of the Arnold movies kind of didn't stand the test of time, you know?
Speaking of Arnold, what is your favorite Arnold movie?
Question. I got to say, I really liked Commando when it came out. Remember Commando?
Oh, Commando.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was probably one of my... I wasn't that... Terminator was cool, but he really didn't talk that much in it. And he wasn't really... it's just... He was like a cyborg.
Especially in the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd say Commando was... that's probably the one that I liked most when I saw it.
Sweet. Here's a random question. What is a food that you can't stand?
Well, it's more of a spice. I can't stand garlic. I can't stand the smell.
Oh, really?
I'm kind of allergic to it. I don't like onions or garlic.
Okay.
Even when I smell them, I can't be near it. I just don't.
Oh, but, shit.
I don't know if you call that a food or a spice, but and I'm not big on I don't eat a lot of fried foods. I don't like a lot of fried. My diet's super boring. I'm a creature of habit, so I can eat the same thing every day. I can eat cardboard. I mean, I don't I don't survive to eat. I eat to survive, more or less. So, you know.
I remember you were having a hard time picking what to eat when we were in Wichita there. We were at that barbecue place.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember we both looked at it. We're like, ooh, a grilled cheese. That's random. Well, maybe the grilled cheese.
actually, that shredded chicken was pretty plain that they had. The shredded
chicken. Oh, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, I ate a lot. I just put that on the tortilla. That's really all I had over there.
Okay.
Yeah, that was unexpected because I was expecting it to be in grease and garlic and, you know, really salty, yeah. But it was actually pretty decent. I wasn't expecting to eat when I went there. I had eaten before I left to go there, so I wasn't expecting that they would have something I could eat there. Yeah.
Yeah. What was your very first job ever?
Actually, I was a freshman in high school. I was hired to cut out films for screen printing, like logos and stuff like that. So I was designing logos and cutting out film. And They paid us $2 an hour. It was a place called Sports Station in Chicago. And maybe about a year after I got, wasn't working there anymore, they had to give me a bunch of back pay because they weren't paying us $3.65. They were paying us below minimum wage, $3.65.
Yeah. So
I remember I got a check for like $1,000 or something. I thought I was rich. that was a lot of money back. To get that one kind of lump sum as a freshman, that's a lot of money. Oh.
That's it. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Daring? When I was a kid, I was a daredevil. So I won't do anything. I'm scared of heights now, everything. But we used to jump a lot of stuff on our bikes because we were big fans of Evel Knievel back then.
Yes.
So everything we did was setting up garbage cans. The interesting story is here, I have a friend here that was actually working with Evel Knievel's son. I'm not Robbie, the other one. I'm trying to think of his name. But anyway, they were looking for someone to do graphics for some stuff that they're doing. So I actually got to meet his son. We went to we went to dinner with him, and then we went out to we watched a boxing match with him with his son. Super nice guy.
Incredible.
So that was kind of a surreal moment too, because I was the biggest fan of Evel Knievel when I was a kid. I had all his toys, all those wind up toys, and the camper and all that stuff. So I was like, wow, I got to meet. And he actually shared a lot of crazy stories with me about his dad. Like he would do these jumps where, you know, back then he was using like nowadays you see these guys doing jumps and they're flipping and stuff, but they weren't using the same kind of motorcycles that Evel Knievel was using. And a lot of times, like, he had these jumps set up, you know, TV, they're going to be on TV, and he didn't have the right parts for the bike. So he was doing a lot of these jumps without, they had ordered the parts, not like, you know, Amazon, you can get the part the next day. He was doing some of the jumps. Apparently he was doing some of these jumps without, you know, the proper parts that for his bike could use.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. Like some of the stories he shared was pretty crazy. You know?
It's intense.
Yeah.
So, that was probably just stuff that we did on our bike that was kind of crazy. Nothing to do to Barry.
Did you ever have any bad injuries?
Not really. I mean, I remember going down a hill one time. If when you're a kid, you just get up and, you know, just get back on your bike.
Shake it off.
Yeah.
Shake it off, yeah.
That's it. What is your most prized possession?
Prized possession? My gym membership. probably my gym membership. So that I spend most of my time there. So the gym, honestly, since day one in the gym when I was probably 17 years old, I haven't really missed a week of workout unless I was super sick or COVID, you know. Other than that, I've never really missed a week of workouts, you know. I've run consistently.
Well done.
In my life, you know.
Do you and John Turk or even John Parrish have like a little rivalry going at all? Like who's the biggest or anything like that?
Little competitions?
Really. I think we're more supportive of each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at those guys as like rivals at all. Like,
yeah.
Me and John Turk still, I don't keep in touch with as much with John Parrish. John Turk is on the West Coast now. He lives in the San Diego area. So we keep in good contact.
Nice.
Yeah.
I keep saying I'm going to get out there to San Diego to visit, but I never get out there. I was in Maui recently. Actually, I was in Maui the day I was leaving the day some lady got taken by a shark there. I had just been in the ocean, not too far from where she had been taken by a shark. I was back up at the pool and I saw all these helicopters and stuff. So,
wow.
That was crazy. But yeah,
Damn, man.
That was fun. It was a fun trip, but
either way.
The ocean is crazy. I don't go out too far here.
Yeah. Would you say Hawaii is one of your favorite places to vacation or?
Yeah, for sure. Like I've been to Maui like twice. The last time I admit was to Maui, it was like 15 years ago. So this last time I was there and I always went to the Four Seasons just a visit. So I said, next time I go, I'm staying at the Four Seasons in Maui. So I stayed at the Four Seasons. It was the greatest vacation of my life. Like the best place.
Wow.
It was just great. Wow. I recommend, highly recommend it. So.
All right. And final question. If you were granted a superpower for one day, what would you choose and why?
Boom. It's a good question. Probably like Superman, so I could fly. You know what I mean?
Ah, nice. That would be convenient.
I think that would be the superpower, you know? Or maybe a superpower like Elon Musk and be a bill worth $200 billion would be kind of...
That one wouldn't be bad.
If I was Superman, I could just go steal that money, right?
That's no one's going to stop me. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Borrow the money. I could borrow.
Borrow the money. Borrow. Yes. Yeah. Well, Brian, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us today. For all the listeners that are tuning in right now, where can they find you on social media? And is there anything that you'd like to promote at this time?
On Instagram, it's just my name, Brian Glenn. So BRIANGLYNN. And I always get, for a long time, I got a lot of people who wanted autograph stuff and it was hard to do it through social media. So I have a website called shownow.com where they, if they want to autograph pictures, I don't charge a lot of money for them, but shownow.com.
Excellent. Nice. Excellent. All right. Well, you heard it from him yourself. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day, Brian.
You too, guys. Take care. Thanks a lot.
All right, friends. That's a wrap for today's episode. We thank you, as always, for all the wonderful support. Brian's a great guy. Be sure to support him, as you should all the Mortal Kombat originals. They helped create and bring us some of the best characters in pop culture, period. Stay tuned for some more great episodes around the corner. We appreciate you sticking around. Until next time, have fun, stay safe, and
stay flawless.